Praise God. Good to be here on a Wednesday night, isn't it? Amen. Good to see Ryan Michael here tonight. Came all the way out here just to hear me preach. Man, I don't know if I can get through tonight. I just feel so blessed that he's here. Good to see him. Young lady sitting with him. Good to see you here as well. Amen. I'm going to try and sing a song here real quick. Amen. One day there was a man bound by the devil. Legion was his name. Well, so often bound in chains and fetters, yet still he couldn't be tamed. Then a man stepped out of a boat. Legion fell at his feet. He said, "Be loosed and be set free." It was Jesus that came on the scene. He's a chain breaker, the peacemaker. Jesus is his name. He's the life giver, sick healer, and he washes all sin away. He's a heart mender with love so tender. When he reaches down his hand, and when I have a need, he's all I need. When Jesus comes on the scene, oh, he's a chain breaker, the peacemaker. Jesus is his name. He's a life giver, sick healer. He washes all sin away. He's a heart mender with love so tender. When he reaches down his hand, and when I have a need, he's all I need. When Jesus comes on the scene, oh, sometimes it may seem there's no way out of the problems that you're in. You've tried and tried to just keep on holding, but it seems that you just can't win. Oh, but I know a man who specializes in things that others can't do. And he'll make a way where there seemeth no way. When Jesus comes on the scene, oh, he's a chain breaker, the peacemaker. Jesus is his name. He's a life giver, sick healer, and he washes all sin away. He's a heart mender with love so tender. When he reaches down his hand, and when I have a need, he's all I need. When Jesus comes on the scene, oh, he's a chain breaker, peacemaker. Jesus is his name. He's a life giver, sick healer. He washes all my sin away. He's a heart mender with love so tender. When he reaches down his hand, and when I have a need, he's all I need. When Jesus comes on the scene, and if you have a need, he's all you need. When Jesus comes on the scene. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for Jesus tonight? Amen. Turn with me tonight to the book of Luke, chapter number 22. Put your finger there. And then you can also turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 16. Put your finger there. We'll be going to the book of Luke first, though. Chapter number 22. Amen. If you have it, say amen. Let's stand for the reading of the Word tonight. Luke chapter number 22, we'll begin reading in verse number 54. The Bible says, "Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'This man was also with him.' And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 16. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus and Salome had brought sweet spices, and that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, 'Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him.'" Verse number 7. I want you to listen to this. "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. And he said unto you, as he said unto you, go your way, tell his disciples and Peter." Amen. I'd like to preach tonight, if the Lord would help me, on failure is not final. Failure is not final. You can be seated. The book of tonight in our text, I want to read you something here before I get going. Webster's dictionary says the word "fail" means to fall short of an end or a purpose, to be unsuccessful, to waste away or decay, to be wanting or to be deficient. The word "failing" means a fault or weakness in absence of or lack of something, or gradually losing. The word "failure" means the act of failing, the omission to perform or to do something, to be in want of success, bankruptcy, a person who has failed. Amen. Anybody ever failed tonight? Amen. Many people would rather face any situation in life than to be seen in life or known by those in life as a failure. With the tremendous stress that society places on success today, thank you, Brother Brad, this is not surprising. If you're not driving a fine new automobile and you're not wearing the finest of clothes, you're looked at as someone who has not arrived at what they could possibly be. you might be a failure in their eyes. But in our text, we find the most horrifying story of failure that could have ever been known to man, or at least in my opinion. Peter has denied knowing the very Christ that he would go to his death for, that he said in the book of Mark chapter 14. All of us have failed many times in life, and some of us don't even remember failing. You fell down the first time you tried to walk. Did you know that? Brother McKelvey, you remember that? I don't. Thank goodness. I still fall down now. Amen. Couldn't imagine what I was like trying to learn how to walk. But when you first tried to walk, you fell down. You don't remember it, but you failed. You missed the ball the first time that you swung a bat. You almost drowned the first time Dad throwed you off the dock into the pool trying to teach you how to swim. Amen. Y'all remember any of this? Sound familiar? You almost drowned that time, but look at how you turned out today. Everything's all right. This failure is just one example of many failures throughout history, but I want to remind you again tonight that failure is not final. Just because you fall does not mean that you have to stay down there. Just because you trip up and let down doesn't mean that that's it. You're crossed off. You're X'd out. You're out of the picture, and there's no hope for you. I want you to know tonight, if you get nothing else out of this message, there is hope in Christ Jesus. Amen. And as long as Christ is on the throne, there will always be hope. And if you fail, then get back up, dust yourself off, look straight back toward the cross of Christ, and take another step, and victory would be just around the corner of your life. Can you say amen tonight? These failures might not mean a lot to you, but I want to go somewhere this. Listen to this. This lesson of failure has rarely been illustrated more convincingly to me than in the life of the story of this famous man. See if you can guess who he is. At the age of 22, he failed in a business. At the age of 23, he ran for legislature and he was defeated. At the age of 24, he failed at another business. At the age of 25, he finally got elected in the legislature. At the age of 26, his fiance died days before their marriage was to take place. At the age of 27, he had a nervous breakdown. At the age of 29, he was defeated for legislation as the speaker. At the age of 31, he was defeated for electorate. At the age of 34, he was defeated for the U.S. Congress. At the age of 37, he finally was elected to Congress. But at the age of 39, he was defeated once again. At the age of 46, he lost again and was defeated for Congress. At the age of 47, he was defeated for the vice presidency. At the age of 49, he was defeated for the Senate. You'd have thought by now this fella to give up on politics. But at the age of 51, Abraham Lincoln became the 16th president of the United States. Anybody know that fella? Amen. Brother Bill is here tonight. He's probably got some pennies with his fancy mug on him somewhere. He was also an unsuccessful lawyer, and his subsequent marriage, historians said, and I thought this humorous, so I throwed it in for a laugh tonight. His historian said his marriage would have been enough to destroy any man. Historians agree that had he been happily married, that he would have never become president of the United States. Something made that man get out of the house and beat the bushes for a vote. Amen. Hallelujah. Who has never tasted what is bitter will never know what is sweet in life. The man by the name of Demosthenes, the famous Greek orator, was a failure as well. He had a speech impediment and was shy and retiring. But historians say that he would put rocks in his mouth And he would walk down by the seashore and he would practice saying his speeches until with a mouth full of rocks you could understand every word that came out of his mouth. And he got to the point that after the rocks he began to compete against the waves. And Brother W.H. Wyatt said as the waves crashed into the shore of Greece, you could hear the voice of Demosthenes, a man that had a speech impediment. You could hear every word loud and clear above every crash of the wave. But he was a failure in most men's eyes. There was another fellow that went into the bank manager, asked him for a loan. I'm going somewhere, bear with me. Is this all right? He asked him for a loan to invest in a new invention. The manager laughed at him and said, "Remove your toy from my office desk and get out of my office." And Alexander Graham Bell picked up the prototype of the telephone and walked out the door. A failure in the bank's eyes. But boy, I tell you what, he'd flip over in his grave if he's seen my Droid X. Whew. This is good preaching tonight, isn't it? I'm going somewhere. Flunked grade school mathematics. His teacher told him he was a dunce. He tried over 9,000 wrong kinds of filaments before he finally found the right one that would burn inside of a light bulb. Thomas Edison was viewed as a failure. The English novelist got 753 rejection slips before he finally found a publisher that would publish his books. And after they began to read this great English novelist, he ended his life's career with 564 books under his belt. The man, John Creasy, was a failure in the eyes of publicists of his day. The author of the best-selling book, Gone with the Wind. Anybody ever read that? I never read it. never just did anything for me. Amen. She was turned down by 38 publishers before the 39th publisher said yes and turned the manuscript into one of the best-selling books of all time. There was a fellow that come up out of Kentucky with an original recipe. Turned down by 105 times, he was turned down until someone agreed to sponsor Colonel Sanders' original famous recipe. Turned down. Do you ever heard of a fellow by the name of Michael Jordan? How'd you like to have been the high school basketball coach that cut Michael Jordan from the basketball team? Amen. Failures. Let's look at what brought about the failure, though, tonight in Peter's life. You see, as I read this scripture to you, it was one of those, some of those verses that it just makes my heart grieve. To be there with Jesus, the man that you had walked with for 3.5 years, you had watched him physically open blinded eyes, open up deaf ears, touch the dumb's tongue and they talk, touch crippled legs and they walk, merely speak the word and a servant be healed at another place and not even in his presence. There was a man, Jesus, standing at a kangaroo court, and Peter was standing afar off, and there one after another they came to Peter and they said, "Hey, you are one of his disciples." And he said, "No, I don't know the man." And another come along, sister, and said, "Hey, I know who you are. You're a Galilean. I can hear your speech. I can hear you talk. You followed along with him." And he said, "I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know the man." And finally, after a little while, there was another gentleman that walked up and he said, "I am positive that you are one of his disciples." And Peter said, "I do not know the man." And immediately the Bible said that the cock crew. And the Bible said here in the book of Luke, one of the saddest, most heart-wrenching scriptures that I have ever read in the Bible, it said that Jesus turned and he looked at Peter. How would you have liked to have been Peter standing there on that day and look eye to eye with the Son of God and know in your mind that he not only prophesied
decided, but now it had come true. My God, what a failure. And the Bible said that he went out and he wept bitterly. He grieved and he cried, Brother Keith McKelvey. His heart was broken because he had failed the very one that he had stood up and said, I'll go with you all the way to your death. And now the devil's wrestling inside of Peter's mind. A failure. You ever been there? You ever failed God? It's just us tonight. You can be honest. You ever failed God? I failed him time and time again. Brother Maggard, I've crawled on my knees to my bedside many a night and begged God to forgive me one more time for failing him, for not doing what I knew to do was right. But here in our scriptures, there was two reasons that Peter was mentioned. When the angel spoke, he said, go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. He mentioned Peter specifically. Number one, it would be good news to a man that had failed his master. It would well be welcome news to him that is tonight in sorrow for the sin and the atrocity that he had committed toward his master that he loves so dearly. The second thing, he will be afraid lest the good news was not for him because he had failed the master. If you were Peter sitting and the women all came and they said, he said to bring his disciples and come, I believe with all my heart Peter would have stayed right there. Felt like he'd failed and could never get back up. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You just ain't listening right now. I want you to listen to these words. Peter followed at a distance. When he followed Jesus that night, he was loyal to him, but it was at a distance. That night he went close enough to see Jesus, but not close enough to be seen with Jesus. We often fail because we never commit to God. We don't give all to God. We don't do as James chapter 4 and 8 says. We don't try and draw nigh to God. Because if we draw nigh to God, the promise is that he will draw nigh to you and I. That's the promise. We claim him in the company of other Christians. When we come in and out of the doors of the house of God, we gladly raise our hands and we sing the song, saved by his power divine, saved with new life divine, we proudly sing it. But when we go out sometimes into the world, we sometimes, oftentimes stand so passively back that nobody around us ever knows that there's something different about you. We're ashamed, and oftentimes we get so that we feel like we failed God because we don't tell everybody I'm a Christian. And we allow the devil to beat us down to the point that we feel that we failed and we can't do any better in life. Should have shouted by now. That was your cue. It's not going to get any better. Luke chapter 9 and verse 26 says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory. The author of Romans said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul was not ashamed of Christ, and when he stood firmly, not in his own accord, but in his own right mind, because he knew that Christ lived and dwelt inside of him. And if there was ever a man that in the eyes of God could have been viewed as a failure, Paul himself could have been viewed as a failure. How many times do you think Paul wrestled with the memory that haunted him of what he did to the church, Brother Maggard? How many times do you think that he laid down on his pillow at night and his mind gnawed at him as the enemy of his soul came back, Sister Rose, and he read over the accusations of his life and he said, you have no right to stand and declare and preach the gospel? How many times do you think Paul wrestled with that thought, that I'm not worthy. I tell you one thing, Paul got down deep in his heart and he said, I crucify myself daily, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was saying, I know that I'm guilty of failing, but I'm going to dust myself off. I'm going to stand back up. And as long as I've got breath and wind in my body, I'll not fail him again. Hallelujah. Failures. Amen. Failures. I don't know why I'm preaching this. I just felt like someone feel like I've failed. He had the fear of the unexpected. Peter did not know what they would do or how they would react if he had claimed to be one of Christ's followers. Fear causes many folks never to try anything. They stay right where they are. They don't do anything. They don't go anywhere because they're afraid of not knowing what the outcome will be. Don't fear failure so much that you never try anything for God. The saddest summary to any life is to one day look back and say, I should have, I could have, I wish I would have. There are many people that, my dad, when we sit down, we talk, and we get to talking about the Bible. My dad and I will, I don't know if anybody else is like this, but my dad and I will get on a scripture, and I think he hunts for things to disagree with me about. It's a dad thing. I don't know what it is. And he'll just get to, maybe he's trying to make me really think and test me out, Brother Brad, but he'll find stuff. What about this? No, I don't agree with that. This is that. Let me show you here. And we get to talking. Finally, I just get to thinking, man, I failed in Bible study. Thanks, Dad. I feel better now. You taught me well. I failed. And then at the end, it all comes back together, and we get to talking about the goodness of God. And it never fails. My dad will say, son, there's many things in life I wish I would have done. Don't live your life with a regret of what you should have done for God. Just do it. Amen. That's good preaching. Good preaching, Brother Jamie. I like it. No problem. Keep going. John chapter 15, verse 19 says, if ye were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Yes, you might fail. Yes, you might fall. But I'd rather go down swinging than just standing there with the bat on my shoulder. Yes, I might say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Yes, I might misquote something exact, not get it exactly right when I'm trying to witness to somebody. But I'd rather tell them what I know for the surety about Christ than to stand back with my hands crossed and my mouth shut and stand silent and let the world pass by me and never tell them or attempt to tell them that there is a hell that they are headed to. Lords, and try and warn them before it's too late. Yes, you might fail. Yes, you might not get it right. I tell you, there were things, you'd laugh me right out of this church of the things that I have said preaching behind the pulpit. But for some odd reason, I just keep trying away at it. Keep striving toward it. Because I don't want to be guilty of sitting back regretting one day that I didn't give it my all. Let me get real spiritual right here on you. The Veggie Tales sing a song. It says, stand up for what you believe in. For God, He's the one to back you up. He'll see you through. That's deep, isn't it? Bunch of vegetables preaching to us. God will keep you in the middle of His will. You might stumble. You might get dirt on your knees from falling, but you can always get back up. I played softball with these fellas. Pitiful sight. You ought to come out and see it. Horrible. Walked up to the bat this past week, found out a rule about this softball league I didn't know. I swung one time. Next ball that came, they called me out. And I could have promised you we got three strikes. And I walked away frustrated that I only had two strikes on me and they called me out. When I got back to the, what do you call them things, dugout, Brother Brad said, "Oh, yeah, you got a strike and a ball when you walk to the plate." That'd have been nice information to know before I got there. But I want to tell you something. With two strikes and three balls, it's a full count. You're still not out. You hearing me? The devil will come at us every day of our life, and he'll get a laundry list out, and he'll just, whoo, Sister Brock, he'll roll it out over your entire life. And if we allow him, he'll point out every fault, failure, mistake, wrong turn that you have done in your entire life. And if we allow him, he'll jump right up on our shoulders and he'll weight us down to the point that we'll go face down on the ground. And then once you get down there, he'll kick you down to the dirt level. And if you just stay there, then he has won the battle. But I want to tell you tonight that yes, you might have failed. Yes, you might have fallen. Yes, there is a devil that will tempt you and try you and will accuse you every day. But I want you to know that if it's under the blood of Jesus Christ, you may have been guilty, but you stand before the Almighty tonight, guiltless in His eyes. Yes, you may not be worthy of worshiping and living for God, but I want to tell you that God is worthy of your worship. Go ahead and worship Him anyway. Failure is not final. And finally, the third thing, finding you're out of God's will. I don't believe that is the will of God for Peter to deny Christ. I didn't believe it was for him to go away and never come back. I don't see that. Judas, when he left, he went out as well, but Judas went out and he hanged himself. Y'all remember reading that? The Bible said Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Judas probably wept as well, but Judas' failure took him all the way to a point of no return, and he never came back. Listen to me tonight. Peter's failure was great as well. But when he went out and he wept, and then he heard that cry, that call, and he came back to Christ. What a joy. Anybody in here ever failed God? Maybe I'm preaching or just beating the wind, so to speak, tonight, Brother Magger, but I feel like tonight there's somebody that's just been struggling. You feel like you're dog paddling in a storm. You're just barely keeping your nose above water. And you can't get out, and it looks like it's hopeless, and the devil is sitting right on your side, and he's saying you might as well just quit. It's not worth it. No one's helping you. You're all by yourself. No one even cares if you show back up again. I'm here tonight to tell you that's a lie from the pits of hell. You keep paddling. Because when Peter began to sink, Sister Hoffman, am I telling this right? When Peter began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And the Bible said, he took a week or two to think about it. No, day, night, immediately. Immediately. He stretched his hand out. Christ is at the mention of a name. And when you feel that all hope is gone and you have failed and it doesn't matter what you've done, all you have to do, and I'm going to challenge you right here with this as I begin to close, is just start saying, "Jesus. Jesus. Jesus." At the very mention of that name, Brother Aaron, my heart just begins to turn. I begin to feel all good inside. And it's not spiritual doodads and goosebumps. It's God working inside of me. It's the realization that yes, although I have failed, yes, although I have been guilty of letting down on Christ, yes, although, and I'm not advocating that you go out and always sin and do things intentionally just to put God to a test. I'm talking about you slipped and you fell. You didn't recognize it until it was too late. That point right there is your decision point. That place right there, Brother Luke Richmond, is where the devil stops at that cross road, and he says, all right, Luke, you're down. Now what are you going to do? And it's your choice. You've got God encouraging you to stand, and you've got the devil encouraging you to stay down. And I'm telling you tonight, if I could be a tiebreaker, I'm telling you, get back up. Don't stay down. It's not worth it. I said it's not worth living on the ground. Stand back up. You might not be the greatest. You might not be the best, but you are the only one that can be the best at being you. Get back up. Come on, music. I'm fixing to close. But to find out you're out of the will of God is something that scares folks off. To find out that this might not be what God wants me to do. Brother McKelvey, I come out of Bible college on one of them fast tracks. You know what I'm talking about? Joey Height said, felt like charging hell with a water gun. I come out and thought I was going to grab the devil by the tail and just whip him around like an old Pecos Bill story or something and just launch him into eternity. And I was going to ride above every storm. I was going to walk on water. Don't act sanctified. Y'all looking at me funny. I was going to do it. It's what I felt like. And then I found out something. There's life outside of Bible school. Got married. Nothing wrong with marriage. I've sat around this place. Nothing wrong with marriage. Wonderful. Greatest choice of my life. You hear that? Got that on CD back there, don't you? Greatest choice, love of my life. But along with marriage came responsibilities. Nice car I had, but there's a payment book with it, Luke. These guys make fun of me. Payment, anybody know what a payment book is? Raise your hand. Look at these people that know what a payment book is, Luke. Amen. Got a payment book with that thing. Responsibility. Had children, whole new realm of life came on. Sister Rose, you're laughing. You act like you had a couple children of your own.